some more reflections on exploring thinking. And to start with, talking a little bit about exploring this in daily life. The piece I mentioned in the guided part about noticing how thinking affects us. When thinking arises, it shapes something in our experience. This part is really useful in daily life. How does thinking affect us? Sometimes Sayadaw Utejaniya talks about what he calls 50-50 mindfulness. This teaching is more generally applicable than just with thoughts, but he'll say in daily life, when you're engaging in activities in the world, 50% of your attention, roughly half, and half of your attention should be on what's happening in the world. What you're doing, what you're saying, what you're hearing, what's going on, what you're engaged in, and 50% of your attention on how you are, what's happening in your system, emotionally, your thoughts, your body, how's your body? It doesn't have to be exactly 50-50. It's just some of the attention external, some of the attention internal. It may depend what's happening, may affect or influence how much of the attention can be external and how much internal. If something is very dynamic or requires a lot of focus, that may be more like 70% external and maybe 30% internal. So in the realm of thinking, in the realm of working with thought, exploring this, there's a couple of things that can be kind of an avenue into exploring this. So our mind produces thoughts, and one of the correlates to our mind producing thoughts in a more slowed down fashion is when we're engaged in writing something. If we're writing a text or writing an email, we are producing thoughts and expressing it. And so that the process of expressing it in a form such as a written form tends to slow things down a little bit. And you might be able to recognize while you're doing that. So while you're engaged in some kind of writing activity, how are you while this is happening? So you could explore potentially if you're writing an email. When you sit down, you might put a sticky on your computer that reminds you to do this. I'm fond of using reminders in daily life because so often we're moving at such a fast pace that we don't remember. And so if you have a laptop and you put a sticky note on your screen, that when you open your laptop, you see the sticky note that says, try being aware while typing an email. That might help you remember. Now you have to move the sticky note, go into your application. You might forget in those intervening couple of minutes, but it gives you a little bit more opportunity to remember. And so in that writing, you might explore slowing it down. The slowing it down, and at first it can feel like the 50-50 mindfulness may need to be a little bit of back and forth. You type in a sentence or two, and then stop and check in. How am I now? Another sentence or two. How am I now? So that at first it may need to be a back and forth because we don't yet have the skill early on in this practice, we don't yet have the skill of being able to, do something with engaging in thinking and know at the same time how we are while we're doing it. It's a skill that we can learn to have that simultaneity of both typing in, creating the content, doing the activity of typing it in, and knowing what's happening for us. And so at first we can do this back and forth. We can slow it down a little bit. This will give us a little bit of a window into how the thoughts, in this particular case, the thoughts that we're creating to share with somebody else are affecting us. We may also see some thoughts about how it might affect the other person. That's useful also. We might notice that, oh, that way of saying it might land a little funny. Okay, maybe I should reword it. So again, this is useful for us in terms of seeing not only how we are, but potentially recognizing how it might affect somebody else. So this is also a way to begin exploring the possibility of being mindful while speaking, because writing an email to somebody is essentially a form of speech, again, slowed down. And so you could play with this in terms of looking at your thoughts, looking at how you are, this 50-50 mindfulness, both the content, so in the guided meditation, I was encouraging kind of noticing the difference between content and that we are thinking. In our daily lives, we kind of have to hold the content, know the content, know how the content affects us, because the content is used to navigate our lives. And so we can also be aware of content and aware of how it affects us and aware of how that content might affect somebody else. But this is another piece of working with thoughts and this exploration around how does this thought land? What planet does this thought create? What landscape am I in with this thought? This can be useful. And then the other side of thoughts in the daily life realm is we receive thoughts from outside. We hear what other people say if we're listening to the radio or a podcast, watching a video, hearing somebody talk. We are receiving the contents of somebody else's mind. And being aware that that is happening, being aware that essentially what's happening is thoughts are arising externally, and here's how they're affecting this being. So these are thoughts that are coming up and being presented to the mind. So again, recognizing how they affect you. A slowed down form of this would be reading. So when you read something, you can read a sentence or two, notice how it affects you. I sometimes do this with reading the news. I'll read a headline and check in, how does it affect me? So you can slow it down somewhat. Read a little bit. How does it affect you? Read a little bit more. How does it affect you? What's coming up in relationship to those thoughts? Again, and it can move towards the 50-50 where we don't have to do a back and forth. We can, as the mindfulness gets stronger, we can both know what's happening. We can take in so much. If somebody's speaking to us and they're right in front of us, we can take in the content, we can take in their body language, we can take in their facial expressions, we can know how all of that affects us. We can see if their facial expression is not congruent with their language, we'll notice something in our experience. So again, we can be aware of this. And initially, we are mostly interested in curiosity. What is the experience? As we explore in this, especially in daily life, as we explore what our experience is, we begin to see certain things that arise, certain planets tend to be more connected with aversion or greed or confusion. And certain planets may be more connected to a sense of spaciousness, of connectedness, of love or wisdom, of compassion. And so we begin to learn through being with our experience which planets are more reliable in terms of places to act from. So the awareness can give us the opportunity to choose more skillfully about how and when to act in the world. So there were a couple of questions about working with thoughts that I thought could just speak to briefly. There were some questions submitted on the forum, and one was, how do you work with a song going on in your mind? A song is a form of thinking. It sometimes has, you know, a whole soundtrack behind it. That too is a form of thinking, believe it or not. I mean, thoughts don't necessarily manifest as words. They can manifest as symphonies. They can manifest as hearing nonverbal things. We can imagine hearing a motorcycle, for instance. That's a form of thinking. Maybe a different flavor of thinking in a way. So a song is a form of thinking, and often they tend to drive us nuts, you know, partly because, you know, they get stuck in a loop, you know, we can't stop them often, you know, it feels like they're in the way. It feels like I can't meditate while this is happening. Again, it really does not matter what is happening. We can be aware of any experience. There just tend to be certain experiences we are not that we are habitually not aware of, where there tends to be a habit of getting lost in those. There are certain experiences that we tend to prefer and others that we tend to not prefer. In some contexts, perhaps having a song in our minds is not a problem. When we're meditating, we think we shouldn't be having this happen in our mind, and so it becomes a kind of a conflict in our minds. But it is just another object. It's just another experience. And so the first thing to recognize is this is just a thought. Sometimes when I get a song in my mind, I'll just acknowledge it, you know, almost using the noting practice that we talked about briefly yesterday. It's not a part of Sayadaw's teaching. He doesn't teach noting, but every now and then, having done a lot of the Mahasi practice myself, every now and then I find it can be really useful to acknowledge something sticky with a simple label. And so for that kind of thinking, I will acknowledge singing is happening. That's what's happening. Singing is happening. It's useful to notice how does it affect you? You know, so, but it may actually first be useful to notice what's the relationship to the fact of singing? What's the attitude? Often with singing and even the fact of wanting to work with it may betray a sense of aversion, of not liking it, of wanting it to go away. So that's useful to acknowledge too. There's thinking, there's singing is happening and not liking is happening. Singing and not liking are what's happening right now. We can know this. We can be aware of this in our minds. If you are aware, and this is another piece of kind of a reminder in a way. So singing is happening, not liking is happening, and awareness is happening. Aware of this happening. It's important to recognize, as I've been emphasizing, you know, to recognize when we are aware, because we have so many ideas about what it means to be aware, what it means to be mindful. And often we have a belief that if there's something like singing going on, it means that mindfulness can't be happening. And so this is where we can check in. Yes, I can know that singing is happening. This is awareness. It helps to cut through that belief that somehow the singing or the thinking is in the way of being aware. So noticing, yes, there is awareness here. And then it can be useful because they can be sticky and tend to pull us out. It can be useful to see what is the effect that this singing has? What is the effect that the not liking has? I mean, if there's a check the attitude with thinking, and this, I think much of what I'm saying now applies not only to singing, but any kind of repetitive thought in the mind. So noticing that that you're thinking, and then the relationship to it. Often in meditation, not liking is connected to it because we have an agenda to not be thinking. And that's an interesting thing to recognize, that we think meditation should be without thinking. Another way to think about meditation is just to be curious about what is a human being, what is the experience of humanness? And that includes thinking. So let's be curious about that, to not preference a non-thinking state in meditation. It can happen and it does happen, but it doesn't have to be mindful. And so noticing that thinking is happening, noticing the relationship, perhaps aversion. The aversion may have an effect on us as well. Aversion often has a tightening effect, a kind of a resisting, a pushing away. So there's body experience connected with aversion. There's a mind that's kind of like going, no, I don't want that, pushing it away. So that's a piece of the experience that's connected with the thinking and the aversion to the thinking. And then there's also potentially some effect that the thinking or the singing in this case has on you, independent of the aversion. So if the aversion falls away or there is no aversion, it's just singing that's happening, being curious about what's the effect of that singing. What planet does that singing create? Sometimes I find with singing in particular, you know, with singing in particular, sometimes the singing is kind of like, oh, it's like a coded meditation instruction, sometimes more obviously or less obviously. You know, it's like our system will, you know, stumble into something. There's nothing satisfying. Just, this is, everything that happens just goes away, so it's not satisfying. And that may express itself, that understanding. It sometimes it can express itself as a thought, as a lyric. I can't get no satisfaction. So sometimes the songs are expressions of wisdom, expressions of an understanding. It's just expressing itself that way. So another question around thinking, often the question points to often what arises in being aware is critical thinking. So judgment, basically. Self-judgment, judgment for others. I'm going to just stop for a second because there was a question that came in for the chat to clarify what I mean by planets. I guess what I mean there is that the experience of thinking has a very powerful shaping effect on our system. And this experience is maybe most obvious after we've been lost in thought for a while. So after we've been lost in thought and mindfulness returns, especially if the mind has charged out with some reactive kind of thought, a thought that's got a lot of charge to it. When we return from thinking, when the mindfulness wakes up, there's often a kind of a very different experience. It's like that thought bubble, that thought world that had been created is very different than what's happening before the meditation, before we got lost in thought. And so there can be in waking up into a thought, a very distinct sense of, wow, I'm someplace else now. This is a new world. It's a new landscape. It's a new planet that I'm on. And so for me, that language has been useful. It's like, especially when I wake up from thought, what planet am I on right now? Is this planet anger? Is this planet calm? It can be a variety of things. It's not always that the mind wanders into reactivity. Sometimes it can wander into more settledness. And so the sense of there being a difference based on the shaping quality of the thought of what had happened while the mind was lost. That's what I mean by using that language. For me, it does feel like I'm in a whole different world, a whole different place. It was like something else before the mind woke up again, and now I'm somewhere else. So having that be a curiosity when mindfulness returns in particular, what's this experience like right now? Don't try to go back and remember what planet you were on before or where you were before. Where are you now? What's happening now? What planet am I on? So working with self-judgment or judgment, both self-judgment and other judgment, I think I'll talk a little bit more about this in the after we take a short break, we'll come back and talk about working with difficulty. But in terms, I'll just say one thing around the thinking piece. So again, I would say here it's really important with judgment to notice the impact that those thoughts have on you. Especially the self-judgment ones, you know, when we're judging ourselves, there tends to be a constriction, a contraction. So noticing that, noticing what emotions are connected with the judgment. So that these pieces, these explorations, being aware of how the thinking affects you, how the judgment is affecting you. What else is there with the thinking? There's the content of the thought, the judgments themselves, but how do they land? Either for yourself or other. You know, if you're judging another person, there's also some effect, some connection to something internally. Another piece that is useful in exploring judgment. It's a subtler, it's a different form of thought that is connected with many kinds of repetitive thinking, I'd say. Thoughts are often more visible in a way. We know the content of the thought. There's another form of thinking that's kind of more below the surface, deeper, doesn't necessarily have an articulation to it, and that is belief. So sometimes a belief is underlying judgment, a belief about what should be or what shouldn't be. And so sometimes with working with judgment, it can also be useful to be curious about, and a question I will use for myself is, what is being believed? And the use of questions is not to try to figure it out, but to drop in the question. When there's judgment happening, there's some kind of belief under there. Something is being believed. And so just dropping in that, what's being believed? It may not be obvious to you initially. It may be, if you ask the question, if you drop in the question, it may be clear. Sometimes it's not. So just dropping in the question and not trying to find the answer, but just opening to something's being believed. System, can you show me what it is? Mind, body, can you help point out what is being believed? Beliefs often have that quality of should or shouldn't in there. Good, bad, right, wrong, that kind of language is often connected with belief. And if we can see or expose a belief, if a belief can actually be recognized, the content of the belief may have a quality of being true or not. It doesn't actually matter so much in terms of seeing the belief, but when we're not seeing the belief, we are taking the belief to be true. When a belief arises, when you know that a belief is happening, you don't have to try to stop believing it. The most important thing is to recognize that it is a belief. That a belief is kind of influencing our system, is affecting how we relate to the world, affecting how we receive things, affecting how we respond to things. When we can see that a belief is operating, there's a little more space around it. We can have a little bit more room to make choices as opposed to just being blindly driven by that belief, a little more space to kind of check into, how much do I really believe this? Is this a useful belief to be acting on in this moment? So again, we don't have to take beliefs as being the enemy, but when they are not seen, they are just driving the show for us, including judgment, judging ourselves, judging others, some belief in there. So the exposing of what's going on in our hearts and minds, which is largely what this practice is aiming for. Sometimes I'll call this practice Your Mind 101. You are getting to know what's going on in there. The very learning of that, the very learning of what's going on in the mind, will help the mind to understand what's helpful in terms of engaging in the world and with ourselves, what's helpful in terms of moving towards ease and peace, skillful relationship, skillful engagement, and what is not helpful? What tends to put more suffering in the world? And so the seeing of that begins to give our minds the education around what's helpful and what's not helpful. And as our mind gets that education, it begins to orient more and more towards what's helpful and lets go of what's unhelpful. And we can be an active participant in this to some extent. But the first thing is really seeing and getting to know what's in there. So let's take a short break. Let's take a 5-minute break and come back at quarter of the hour or quarter after, depending on if you're in another time zone that in some parts of the world that's half an hour off. So see you in about 5 minutes.